Welcome to Guys Plus, a podcast about guys, a podcast about guys. I am Brian, and guess who's here? Chris, but he's only going to stay for a half hour, so we're docking his pay. What's up, Chris?
Oh, yeah. What's 50% of fucking Jack Squid Diddly?
Dare you?
Just kidding. I'm just joking. Brian pays me very fairly, compensates me very fairly. Yeah, I'm going to come in. I wanted to check in, tell a little bit of a story of my birth, you know, chat it up.
I thought we were going to hear about the baby.
Okay, let's try to listen. I'm going to tell a pretty serious story here. So I know you guys are kind of known as goofballs. You're known to goof around.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't even
talked about my co-host this week.
Okay, go ahead.
Stefan Heck. Hey, Stefan.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Chris.
You have seniority over Chris now.
I'm the host this week.
Your guest. Yeah, your co-host. So Chris is just some guy.
Brian corrects you. Well, you're your co-host. Yeah. Make sure to let you know you're not the host. Brian,
I'm the fucking host.
Right, of course. Yeah.
But I'm mostly saying this to Brian because although Stefan loves to goof around, it's one of his favorite things. He has like a little bit of decorum and he sort of understands a little bit, whereas Brian just got no clue. So I'm going to tell a serious story. Don't try to do your little jokes and make it funny and goof around and, you know, just try to take it seriously for once in your life if you could.
No. All right. Well, let's hear the story.
Okay. So I'm not going to talk about this too often, but basically we were planning a home birth. We talked about this a lot. Brian called me a hippie.
Yeah.
But because Stefan, he lives in America and it's much different having a midwife and doing a home birth. It's a lot different. It's tied very much in with the hospitals now and everything.
Yes.
As we'll find out in the story. So we were due, and also Brian made fun of this, that it was overdue.
Six weeks. The baby, he's talking.
He knows 6 weeks, it would be a serious issue. And
the baby was yelling out of Ariel, I'm ready to be born now.
Yeah, you've used that one. You've used that one like 100 times.
I know, but I like that one. That one's
funny. I don't think I've heard that, so that's good to hear.
Yeah,
thank you. Confirmed non-listener. So, okay.
No,
so,
I just skipped through all the Brian parts.
I would too.
So the baby was late and basically Ariel started going into early labor and then it just sort of stopped. Like the labor just sort of stopped and never picked up again. And everyone was kind of like worried about that. They weren't telling us, but they were like behind the scenes worried about it. And the midwife came by just to do a stretch and sweep for anyone who knows. They literally put their hand inside there and stretch out. Gross.
Come on. It's a clean show.
Okay, so I'm just sitting outside and they're in the bedroom and they open up the door and the midwife's like, all right, so we're gonna have to go to the hospital right now, like right away. Wow. Immediately. Okay. She calls the EMS, like calls for an ambulance. Yeah. Is gonna take too long. Said, well, you gotta drive, we just gotta drive there. Right. Away.
What kind of ambulances you got there? Is it like a Model T?
Well, no,
it's not like the car would physically take. Car was like physically traffic, or like they were busy.
Too many calls. Yeah, we might have an issue. Listen, the idea that
it's like a regular vehicle for that.
We're only 5 minutes away, and we got no calls, but we got this old jalopy that only goes about 15 clicks an hour, so it'll take us a while. No. It was going to take longer. You know, it was that we wanted to go immediately. So. That which, you know, is always good to hear. Hey, we need to go immediately. We can't wait 10 minutes for an EMS person to come. So that was a really horrifying drive to the hospital. It was about 20 or 25 minutes with a little bit of traffic. And it was very hard, as you can imagine, very difficult for Ariel, very difficult. We didn't know what's going on. We just know that there's something wrong. We get to the hospital. They're doing this monitoring of the baby. And there's a dip, like after a certain thing, you can physically see it. Brian, are you kidding me? He brought out his light up thumb. I'm talking about.
Oh, that's cool. I thought that was a real thumb.
No, it is a real thumb. It's my real thumb.
No, okay. I can't believe you did that at that time in the story. Okay, so they're monitoring it and seeing it. It looks like a little, like a lie detector test almost. Like you can see the little things. Yeah. And the
like
midwife.
If I asked Brian, like, is that your real thumb?
Yeah, exactly. You would see a significant, it would start going crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I would have said yes.
Yes. Well, this guy doesn't know how a lie detector machine works. He doesn't say yes. He is telling the truth.
The lie detector test would say yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that your real thumb? The lie detector test is like, yep.
Yep.
That's how they work. I don't know if you guys know how that works.
Okay. So the midwife is just like, okay, so it's okay to see that little, you know, it drop once or whatever. That's no big deal. But if we see it a couple of times, that's a concern. And as she's saying that, we see it happen again on the thing, literally at the same time. And they're like, oh, it could be the cord wrapped around the baby. Like the baby's not getting oxygen. That's what the issue is. The baby's not getting oxygen.
So pretty scary.
Very scary. They go in, they look to see if it's the cord tie. They're like, no. And then, you know, you see the doctors, they're really chill as much as they can be, but you can tell that there's something. They said, we have to go and have an emergency C-section immediately right now. So, I mean, from the time we were in the hospital, the baby was born 15 minutes after. It was just like anesthesia. Oh, she's prepared straight into it, big lit up room with all these surgeons and stuff.
Jesus.
It was just absolutely wild and just completely terrifying as well. Like, it was really like, and I had to pretend like I wasn't terrified because, you know, I have to be like, you know, I don't need to be making Ariel feel more terrified.
No.
I have to be like, hey, yeah, all right.
So much better than me, Chris, because you remember like a few months ago, Gwen was over here and she had a seizure.
Of course. I do remember. Yeah.
And I called 911 and they ran around outside saying, what the fuck is going on? Like, I was panicking in a way that you would like never, like Katie was just like, please don't come back in the house.
Yeah.
Right.
It's good that you were like stoic.
I was able to in that time. I told myself that I have to do this. I have to breathe very like deep and hard and try not get like physically emotional myself and sort of show. We had this wild like lady. She's like this old surgeon who comes in,
like a grizzled veteran.
Good. Oh buddy, so good. She's talking like she's a smoker, kind of, you know. And that was like, I was so nervous until she came in. She comes in like, hey, what's going on in here, everybody? Like, you guys, are you okay with my fucking music? You go with it, you know. And she's just like,
wow.
it was just some radio shit,
Corn. You know,
top 40 stuff. But she
Corn, maybe Limp Bizkit.
Corn?
Yeah, why did she listen to Corn in there? That's what I would have listened to.
Yeah.
No. It was just top 40 stuff. But she was like, what I said to myself in the moment, and I said afterwards, was like, if we're really a concern here, there would not be, she wouldn't be acting this way. It would be so inappropriate for her to be acting this way.
This is probably like something she sees like pretty frequently
every single day. Yeah. So she's really, and she's renowned. I found out afterwards, like my sister-in-law, like knows her. And like when they work, she's like very well known as a tremendous C-section surgeon. So,
So
the baby was born, you know, via C-section, got a photo of it looking full alien mode. Like when it comes out, Brian would know this. If you people who have seen a birth, or if you've given, you know, you've been there for one, you know, it's jarring how it looks. It's purple, looks like an old man, it's misshapen, it's got stuff all over it. But yeah, when in the moment you still think it's great, like
I didn't. Like, shit, this thing might be ugly.
Well, I took some birthing, as we've been over before, I prepared myself so I took some birthing classes and stuff. Yes. So I was a little bit prepared. They told me that was going to happen, so I was mentally prepared for that. But also just the love, just it literally it, I was just crying immediately at the idea that this was my child and my baby, and I was completely overcome with emotion. Brian, you were as well? Or
my first thought was, somebody's going to be mean to this kid and I'm going to fucking kill him. That was like the first thought I had.
So psychotic.
I know. It was the very first thought I had when I looked at her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, some people might be like, oh, wow, that's like a great, but not me. I think that sounds fully psychotic.
Probably not the best thought. I would agree with you on that end. I told you, I don't remember if I told this. I hate to tell it twice, but when Gwen was born, I was grossed out by the whole thing and want anything to do with it. I want to be standing on the side where you can, you know, look at the puss and stuff like that. Like, I didn't want anything to do with it. So I stood next to her head.
Yeah.
And,
I did as well, but because she was having a C-section, so there was like a big,
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. I think you'd, internal organs and stuff, you can imagine. You don't want to see that.
I found it nasty. So I'm standing there. My mother-in-law's and I are the only two people in the room with her. And the baby is born, and they're like, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? And I said, no, that's fucking gross. And my mother-in-law was like, I'll do it. And I was like, bullshit, you will. I'm going to do it. And I fucking...
This guy got jealous.
Oh my god.
Well, it's been really bad. So the baby's finally home now. We spent a couple of days in hospital, obviously, because Ariel's had surgery. Yeah.
I've seen pictures of the baby. Adorable.
Oh, he's so incredibly cute. He's got full hair as well. He's got more hair than me, even maybe.
Well, he's gonna go bald though someday.
Yeah, he will probably.
I just want to say I'm picturing Brian when his kid is being born, and his first thought is like, boy, I can't wait to like pose next to her and her prom date with a shotgun, sort of like
Yeah, he's one of those. He's immediately just like, I'm gonna be one of those dads. Like
you look at it and you have like this profound connection to the baby that in my mind at the age I was.
And you're a pilled out.
Oh, I was totally fucked up on pills. Actually, not.
I know everyone knows that, but it's important context for the story is like why he's acting that way. You know?
I wasn't fucked up on pills at the birth because I, as I said, that was the day I was going to go hook up.
Well, that's worse. That's worse. Right.
Oh, I was in bad fucking shape. I was like on the fucking phone.
I don't know if you guys have done opiates, but yeah, it's you're certainly in a better position when you're taking the opiates, right? Not taking,
of course, yeah.
I was in the fucking parking lot saying, dude, just drive up to Riverside Hospital. I'll pay you extra money to my drug dealer. Like, he wouldn't do it. And so I was feeling pretty bad. But then
would he not do it because he had like standards and he was like, this is inappropriate or what?
No, he just didn't want to drive 20 minutes. Oh,
it was just too far.
Was he driving a fucking Model T?
Yeah, what did you take too long?
So I didn't get them, but then the very next day I was like, hey, I'm gonna go home and take a shower, and I did that, but I also went picked up some drugs and kind of hung out.
Hung out a little bit on drugs. Yeah, but so yeah, Ariel's home now. She's laid up a little bit, so it's sleeping is not so much, and you know, I have to be obviously dealing with the household stuff and Milo and Squeaky and doing the diaper.
How are the animals taking to the, because I saw the picture with Milo.
And yeah, Milo
he seems like he's going to be great with
Milo is a big dog, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know. Milo's a Aussie doodle and he's, you know, 60 pounds. He's a full size dog. And he's like the
sweetest dog.
He's so sweet. He is very interested. That dogs communicate with poo and pee. So he's, when I'm changing the baby, he gets really interested in that, you know, like he likes and trying to
yeah, me too. I'd love to take a look at a poop. See how the baby's doing.
I'll tell you what, the first poop that the baby took like in the hospital was so big. Like it was just gigantic. And all I could think of was I was like, this kid's got a little Brian in him, you know.
Well, I will say, like in 2 years, the baby's gonna poop so big that it's gonna go all the way up their back.
Yeah.
And then almost touch their fucking neck. They're gross as fuck.
No, I know. I'm fully prepared for it. I'm not grossed out by the poop.
Poop is quite funny, I think.
Baby poop is not
like real poop either, because they're just drinking milk in the beginning, especially. So newborns, it's just this thing called meconium or whatever. I think it's just like fully black and sticky, and then it sort of changes into a yellow.
That sounds terrifying. That sounds
knows everything about babies.
Well, yeah, I just had one.
Yep.
Well, I had one too, and I don't know what meconium is.
Okay, I might have said the wrong word too, by the way. So sorry if I did. But so, Brian, just I'm curious. So yeah, like I said, I'm on the diaper change right now, and I'm changing them, and I have to swaddle them and put them into the bassinet sometimes, well, because Ariel's a little bit indisposed. So that's kind of what my duty is currently. What were you?
Well, and your baby's duty. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of baby duty too.
Yeah.
My wife did not let me off. You know what I mean? Like I was changing diapers from day one.
You were.
So I did actually want to be a good dad. I just didn't like having a baby at that period of time. For the first like 2 years, I felt
two years.
Yeah. I would say the first 2 years.
700 days.
Yeah. My wife was kind of, you know, she was running point for me. And then, you know, every once in a while, she's like, I'm going to go out. You want to watch Gwen? And I'm like, sure. But like after.
Sure.
But like I said, 2 years in, I more than, you know, sort of repaid that debt in that, like, I was the primary parent for a lot of the toddler
years. When Gwen, or when your wife went back to work.
Yeah, when she went back to work, and when I quit, when I got injured at my job, that's what happened. I got injured at my job and she was in daycare.
Right.
And I was off for like, fucking all, over a year, table job. I got injured there and I was off for over a year when Gwen was like 2 and 3 and 4. And I was like, because it was like broken up and stuff. That's why it sounds like it was like 18, 20 months or something. I was off work and she was in daycare and we switched her to part time because to save money, I'm home. I can watch a good fucking kid. You know what I mean? And then we switched it and then we started to notice that I was waking up and going to pick her up because I wanted somebody to hang out with.
I see.
You know what I mean? So then
you're just lonely.
Well, more. Also I liked being around her. You know what I mean? Like that was that when they're toddlers, I mean, that's where I really shine. Toddlers fucking love me because I love them. I think they're the funniest fucking people in the world. They're
I can see you getting along with
toddlers. And I get along with toddlers really well. Like my nephew is 3 and he and I get along so well. He stays at my mom's twice a week down just on the first floor of the same building. So I go down and see him twice a week and we just play and have a great time.
It's
so
great.
I can't wait for the toddler years. He just like my nephew just went to a Whitecaps game. It took my ticket because I was giving birth and so
wasted.
And so yeah, he actually, it was great because it was a terrible game. The Whitecaps played so badly, but he doesn't know any better. He's 3. Right. He just like loved the experience. And then my brother gets to kind of share it with him and he's focused on him. So he's not really as worried about how terrible the game was, but that's just exciting being able to like thinking about taking my kid to a soccer game.
And
movies. And
yeah.
Oh, but, movies is the best. Oh, I told you about the time I showed my daughter The Naked Gun and we got 15 minutes in and she was like, this fucking movie sucks. And we had to turn it off. It was very
But yeah, that's no. I mean, I'm such a movie guy that's like
the problem.
I look forward to.
You're like, I remember this movie I used to watch when I was a kid and I loved it, and then you show it to the kid and they're like, fucking this.
No, but see, I got better sense than that. I'm not gonna show. I understand there's
Naked Gun though. Stuff. Naked Gun is like,
it depends everyone. On the age of the kid.
By watching it again, she was like 10 and it was just like every time Leslie Nielsen would fart, her and my niece would just look back at me like, this not a laugh to be had for 20 minutes.
They were 10 minutes. And they weren't laughing at farts?
Yeah, 20 minutes.
Kids don't laugh at farts as much anymore. Stephen.
They watch YouTube.
They watch YouTube and there's just farts all over it. It's just
that's fucking crazy.
If people
crazy,
say nasty stuff. So, Chris, what is the name of the baby?
Oh, I'm not saying get out here. Sorry, I'm not gonna
say it now.
I said it to you guys because you're my friends.
It's very cute.
This is going to be I'll probably share it at some point, I would imagine, because I don't really even use my last name online and stuff. But I'm going to not post photos of my close friends.
I'll get photos.
You guys will get photos, of course. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not. It's just
that makes sense. I think
it's no rude thing. I just obviously got a lot of people who hate me from the online stuff.
I get it.
But more than that, I like to have some stuff that's just mine and that is my family's and that is not broadcast out to the whole world.
So yeah, there wasn't that kind of thing wasn't going on when Gwen was born in 2004. So. I
9/11 sort of just fresh in your mind.
Yeah. So Chris, while you're still here, you're not leaving yet because we got to do something that we do on Guys Plus.
Okay.
And I figured you needed to be here for it. It's somebody, the Pastafarian holidays.
Somebody commented just how much they hate this part.
I know. It's so good.
Somebody was like, hey, like, shout out to everyone who fast forward through the Pastafarian holidays. And I actually said to them very nicely, I was like, hey, come on, because it was on the great episode where you told the Mexico story. I was like, hey, come on, we're all feeling great about the Mexico story. Let's keep the, you know, and they deleted it. They were very nice. So I appreciate
2 minutes. It is 2 minutes.
It was only one person. I'm sure some people who like it. I'm just to be clear, I'm with that person.
Oh, no, we got to do it every time. I'm sorry. I've got Friday, the day this comes out, is cocktail hour every hour day.
God, so many of them are like this, Stefan, where it's just kind of like, yeah.
It's a holiday?
No. Okay, this is what you got to understand. They do a holiday every day.
Oh, because that's kind of like they're sort of spitting in the face of
you got it. We talked about it last time. Is that with John? We were explaining to him how it's kind of skewering the idea of like, oh, you've got your religious holidays. You know, what if we did them every day? It's very funny.
Sure, kind of Saturday. Kind of offensive.
Saturday, poke things with a pointy stick day.
Okay. So they're having some fun.
Oh, yeah. Sunday has survived another month day.
Yeah, see, some of them like don't really hit as hard, but none like they have to make 365 of them. So that's our. I think that they came up with 250 good ones, and then
they're not all going to be winners, right?
No. Here's Monday, Ticino Pasta Harvesting Day. I don't know what Ticino is. But it's just another pasta holiday. But
hang on. Stefan's looking it up here. This could be important.
Ticino.
T-I-C-I-N-O.
Yeah, I'd like to know what that is. That's intriguing to me. It I don't think we can just
the
let that
southernmost go. Canton of Switzerland.
Well, what's
it's
the
an Italian-speaking that? Region in southern Switzerland?
It looks like it's pasta.
Is it a shape of
pasta? You would think.
Okay. So it's a big letdown, like all like every fucking thing these Pastafarians do.
Oh, you know what it is that there was a hoax. There was a hoax broadcast on April Fool's Day, 1957, on the BBC.
Yeah,
in Ticino or whatever in southern Switzerland, they had a tree that you could harvest spaghetti from.
Yeah.
So there's the connection.
Oh, I see. So
I love a spaghetti tree.
What? Because what day is that holiday?
That is
April 1st.
April 1st. Yeah, should have been April.
So that's why. That's
it's
why.
It's a direct
reference because that was on April.
Oh wow.
Well, they did something right. You know
that makes
I
sense.
I don't know about right, but
we do have a Pastafarian actually thing from the Pastafarian subreddit. If you guys are interested,
sure. Yeah.
Earlier today, I was touched by his noodly goodness and have been left wondering how I could have been so blind all these years. For all my life, the major world religions have attempted to convince me that a perfect, all-knowing, all-loving God created a planet, coincidentally shaped like a meatball, with immeasurable amounts of suffering and misery for reasons known only to him. I've always been seriously skeptical, but it wasn't until today that my eyes were truly open when it was revealed to me that just as a lasagna is evidence of a chef's existence, the world is evidence of the existence of a timeless, spaceless, gluten-free, non-GMO monster made out of spaghetti.
Fuck, this sucks.
Oh, yeah, the long ones are always so bad when they like get into the groove, you know, when they're like, "Oh yeah, okay, I'm starting to feel my language now," you know? Like, and they're like, "I really am spinning a yarn."
What's this guy's username? What's his Reddit username?
What it is okay cut 5657. So it's not, and he goes and due to the fact that the flying spaghetti monster (parentheses sauce be upon him) created the universe in one day, completely drunk out of his mind from a previous 6-day bender, it logically follows that he made so many mistakes because like the universe is pretty big and he only had one day.
Okay, let's stop for a second. Sorry. So is this all stuff from the whatever, the like actual lore, like the drunk
the
stuff?
The canon.
Is this from the canon of it? Because there's an actual
it's
book.
It's got to be, right? And it sounds like he's making references to that stuff. So.
It's very, it's really, listen, we've said it a million times, but this is just like a one-note joke.
It's so Reddit. I know this is on Reddit, but this is so fucking Reddit.
It is like, it is the whole idea of Pastafarianism is just this one note joke that happened that somehow these fucking losers continue to like keep the joke going years later and have added like 1,000 things to it when it only should ever have been the one note. You know,
it was like before 2010 this happened, right? Like, oh, I think yeah. it was.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's crazy that this joke is still happening. Like, you know what it's like when you watch like a comedy from like 1995 and you're like, a lot of this isn't that funny anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The Naked Gun.
Yeah, these people have never felt that way in their lives. I watched Wayne's World one time with Gwen, and I was like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. But when I was in sixth grade and I saw it, I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, of
course. And these guys just probably, they never changed their mind, but he's got more. He's like, I'd like to formally announce my arrival into his noodly goodness, and I look forward to my time being kind and non-judgmental to all people, just as his noodliness intended, and using his strength to challenge the hateful and bigoted ideas of other major religions, but never on an empty stomach, ramen.
Ramen is what they no, that's a standard. I know, one, but we know it. We know it. Yeah, fair enough. Hearing it for the first time in a post is really tough.
Before you go, Chris, I gotta read you these. There's
When is that post from?
That's from 29 days ago. This guy just found it 29 days ago.
Fuck, man. This guy is joining the Pastafarian religion in the year 2024. He's like, this is something that I'm kind of thinking.
That's so crazy, dude.
He's going around telling people in his real life that he's a Pastafarian.
And they're like, oh, you mean that thing from like 2003? I like vaguely remember. Like, that's what people are, how they're responding.
He goes, the guy goes, real bow tie, one pasta joke. He goes, welcome, my sibling in FSM. I raise my grog to you. May everyone come to the truth.
Grog.
For our world is overrun by those who live in darkness.
Grog is the nerd drink. Grog is the drink for nerds.
They drink grog because they're pirates. They're really into pirates, too.
Yeah, so. They're pirates is a big part of it. They're a huge part of it. We don't know why, but it's like the other big part of it.
Sure.
Yeah, it's bacon. But they don't. Yeah. They can't do bacon. And the original poster says, thank you for that welcome as warm as this piece of garlic bread I'm about to eat.
That's what you would have with spaghetti.
However, I must clarify. Do I spread the word before or after spreading Parmesan cheese on top of my fettuccine?
Okay, hang on. So now are you actually talking about eating pasta? That doesn't sound like a metaphor anymore.
This is some of the worst riffing in a real
book. buddy, Rastafarian riffs are lower than any level of riff. Maybe chive riffs.
Yeah. Well, me and Stefan are gonna look at the chivery when you go. He goes up far.
Very excited.
9242 says, I just become a minister after taking an ungodly amount of shrooms and my friend explained the religion to me. LMAO. Any way you find your way here is a good way. The flying spaghetti monster, sauce be upon him, is God. The way, the truth,
yeah,
and
yeah,
the
no, but it's
the garlic bread.
I know. What you have to understand is if you believe in this religion, you have, like, when you say the name, if you don't say that, it's like blasphemous almost.
And in the end, the last riff goes, ain't that the truth? Peace be upon you, my friend. May your garlic bread never burn.
Fuck,
it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. And it's funny because I also have this thread for me and Stefan on our swingers about deep vaginas, but
okay,
I make
hang on can you hang on I'm gonna go check in on my child right now. I want to hear about the deep vaginas, so just if you guys just give me I'll be back in 1 minute, and I would love to hear
if you want to stick around. I mean, if you're able to, or
I'm gonna go check in and see what the baby might just be sleeping. Hang on.
Sure.
I gotta check on my baby so I can hear about the deep vaginas. You know, the thing about it is when I open Reddit, the first thing that comes up every time is the swinger thing, because it's impossible not to click.
Yeah.
A swinger thing. Like, I'll look at it right now. I'll bring Reddit up right now and I'll tell you the top thing that comes up here. Frustrated with fakes, where is the best place for a single male to connect with couples looking for a third? Story below for reference. So this guy is a guy that's trying to, he's a single guy, which is
sure.
first thing you could possibly
be.
It's disgusting.
That's nasty, man. By the way, baby's sleeping silently, so I'll stick around for a little bit.
Our swingers from Imaginary Quiet 2224 says deep vaginas. Hey, don't know what forum is best to discuss this, but what does it mean to have a deep vagina, or when men say they can feel you bottom? Thanks in advance.
Okay, what? Hang on a second. So I don't know. I mean, what does it mean to have a deep vagina? It's pretty explanatory. The vagina is deep. It's, you know, but like I can feel your bottom would mean it's not a deep one. I don't know. Wow. Like, do not use this.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
Our first comment says, I used to tell an ex that I loved how deep she was. It was a legit compliment.
What?
Yeah. Wait, he used to just say, I love how deep your pussy is to his girl. Sure.
And you know how he like clarifies, it was a compliment because it seems like she probably didn't take it as one.
I wouldn't.
It's not a call. I don't think any girl would take it as a compliment.
Never say that to a woman ever. Like in any case, bottle, 4910, which is a couple, says, here's a twist, and it's totally anecdotal. Of all the people I've slept with, the short ones seem to be able to handle more dick. The tall ones, not so much. Even with my normal length, 6.5, I bottom out in some positions, and I'm all over that fornix in most positions.
I'm all over that fornix.
Well, that's with the tall girls. The short girls usually nowhere near the bottom of it.
I don't think that that would stand the, you know what I mean? I think that you need a larger sample size in order to do that sort of research. I don't think that would stand.
Is it just a statistical anomaly of my experiences? Yeah. Or is this actually a thing?
Yes.
Discussed?
Yes.
How would that? Well, maybe we sound stupid because maybe somebody who's like very smart and they're like, no, this is a thing. Taller girls have shorter vaginas.
Yeah. But we got this guy. We got a guy coming. This next comment is, my wife has a very deep pussy. This guy's got experience. And I think she only knows one man who's big enough to reach her cervix. So, and then this person replies and he goes, it's certain positions for me and we need to take care. One wants to be slammed in the cervix. So, and then this guy replies and goes, interesting. Lady Half does not enjoy having her cervix slam. To each their own.
Each their own, good sir. I only know about this because of the fact that the cervix is what is like part of what it has the baby inside. Yes. So I know that when I had mentioned before that a thing to get the baby to come out is to have sex, which didn't work, and I don't want anybody coming back to say, hey Chris, you said that your penis was so good and it made the baby come out, and then the baby didn't come out, so maybe your penis is bad. I don't want anyone coming back and saying that, but they mentioned sort of that, like, yeah, the penis could hit the cervix, and then like Ariel was messing around with me saying, like, yeah, the cervix is kind of open now, so it could like hit the baby's head, you know,
right?
And it really freaked me out.
Well, Going Broke Again says, I like the feeling of hitting bottom, and most of the ladies I have been with enjoyed it as well, but it's been a couple with shorter V's. That's vaginas. And if we go at it for a good time, the head of my dick gets rubbed enough that it gets sore, but never a problem while they sit on top and ride me. My bride likes doggy.
My bride
likes doggy.
My bride likes doggy a lot. And fit, I push hard. It's bottoms out and makes her so turned on. But only a few times when it starts to bug her. So I try to have it when. So I try to time it when she's coming or about to come. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
He did end it with have a great day, which is of course very kind. So that's a little information about deep pussies that I think that, you know, we can always learn.
It wasn't even that much information. It was like a bunch of guys sharing their stories of having sex. Like,
didn't know about them.
No, they didn't. Understand. They just wanted to be like, yeah, I fucked this chick, and it was like hit her back. Like, they're just telling sex stories.
Basically. Sure, sure. Yeah.
Well, let's chivalry it up. Let's go. Well, actually, let's do this first. This is from Our Lawn Care, and B Phil 9 says, using a neighbor's mower. my Time Master is in the shop, and I'm looking to borrow my neighbor's lawnmower. No,
is Time Master, what is that?
Is that a good brand?
I think it's cheap because everybody's like, if you have a Time Master, why don't you just buy another lawnmower while it's in the shop? And it's
we did cover it, though. I think it was discussed on the episode, right? I think.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm
thinking. The Toro Time Master is a $1,500.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's expensive. No. Yeah, we were talking about it, and it was expensive, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, so why buy another one? So he goes.
Maybe they're saying that if you're buying that, you're probably rich. Maybe
he's bragging too.
Interesting, but it's like not a good. It's like getting like what's an expensive car that actually sucks, like a Jaguar or something.
It's just a regular lawnmower. It's like if you're gonna buy a lawnmower for $1,500, I would think you'd buy one that you can ride or stand on.
No, it's different, Brian. That's different. Like obviously that is the kit, but that's only for larger lawns, right? If you have a smaller lawn, a ride on lawnmower just doesn't make sense logistically.
Yeah.
It's done in like 30 seconds.
If because if it's so big, you can't maneuver the little things. And no, it's not.
You
need easier. You have a deeper lawn, I think.
Yeah.
If you have a deeper lawn,
then
you can. I'm looking to borrow my neighbor's lawnmower for one cut. I have Tiff Tuff Bermuda, and she has mostly fescue.
Oh, okay.
Those are brand names from the context.
Those are types of grass.
Yes. Bermuda. I knew that actually.
Just to be clear, these people are aware of what kind of grass they have on their lawn.
Okay.
When I asked, she said they have some Kentucky bluegrass coming in, and she's worried that if I use their mower, our yard could become infested with the bluegrass. Is this a legitimate concern? I was going to pressure wash under the deck before mowing, but she's got me spooked. And
Kentucky bluegrass is a weed, right? I was thinking that. I just know that I've heard it mentioned.
But
it's not a type of grass. That's like a weed. That's a bad thing. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Everybody in the comments told the guy she just doesn't want you to use her lawn,
which is fair. Like people who are so serious about it, you know what I mean? They are serious about it. It's like a musician and their guitar. You're not going to take their guitar and just use it. Like, you know, this is their instrument. This is what they use, and you could mess it up or whatever. So I understand that.
That makes sense. I think that makes total sense.
Like if you're just a regular person, then you just share lawnmower, whatever, take it. But if you're a proper lawn guy and you take it seriously, I could get not wanting to share.
So Ricka77 says, check to make sure it's clean under the deck. KBG won't spread with just a few clippings, and fescue won't spread at all with clippings. It barely spreads with newer cultivars anyway. But power wash it, and if needed, torch the underside. I think it'll be fine. And then Handies for Cookie says, you and OP should start a support club for people with 0.0 emotional intelligence.
Oh my God.
Where did that come from?
Oh, it's because the guy can't figure out that the neighbor doesn't want him to use.
Yeah, and then, but you know, that's kind of really
cruel to
that's
say.
That's a rude mean comment.
Yeah. That's a mean comment. And then the guy comes back and goes, you and yourself should start a support club for replies no one gives a crap about.
Okay, there we go. Yep.
And we get a reply that says, sure, want to join? Your latest comment here made you eligible for membership.
Oh, wait. Ooh, the jerk store called, and they're all out of you.
I know you are, but what am I, sort of. Yeah. Okay.
And then finally, the reply is, you must be the president.
No. Are you serious?
I swear on my life, I'm the president of the.
Yeah, okay, let's go. Let's club. Read. This is an incredible. This is a Reddit thread.
This is a Reddit thread. This is
top level Reddit, like back and forth insults. This is like the top level of it. This is
incredible.
Let's hear it just from the insulting.
The first insult.
Yeah.
You and OP should start a support club for people with 0.0 emotional intelligence.
Okay.
0.0, not even like, you know what I mean?
Not even 9.1. Not 0.01.
No.
And then we get a reply from the same guy, from the original guy, and goes, you and yourself should start a support club for replies no one gives a crap about.
Okay. Wow.
That's a hard one.
Next one.
And then he goes, sure, want to join? Your latest comment here made you eligible for membership.
Love that. I love that. Turned it back around. And then what does he say?
You must be the president.
Yeah.
Curious that, as to why you were, you must be the president of the club you made up about me.
Yeah, this, please tell me this keeps going. Does this keep going?
He just goes, curious as to why you enjoy this. Not really, though. And that was kind of the end of the argument. And then a guy just goes, don't borrow people's tools. Keep life simple. If you use it, any problem it has or incurs in the future will be your fault.
That's a pretty reasonable thing that, like, yeah, all of a sudden your neighbor starts saying like there's something fucked up with it now and then blames you, and maybe you have like a bad relationship with your neighbor now. It's just not worth it.
I didn't expect to have both Chris and Stefan here, so I did find a Yelp guy from Vancouver.
Okay. And then, yeah, so I'll let's do this and then I'll leave before you guys do the chive stuff.
He reviewed Williams-Sonoma, and he gave it 1 star.
What's Williams-Sonoma?
It's a store where you can buy, like, they sell kitchen gadgets, but, like, higher level ones. You know what I mean?
I don't know it, because it's...
Well, I was going to buy an espresso machine from them, but they were, like, $1,500, and I was like, well, I'll just fucking go to the coffee shop. I don't think that's going to save me any money.
Oh, I do know this place though. It's on South Graham. It's South Granville.
It's very fancy.
Yeah. It's a fancy. Okay. Yeah.
Well, this guy says, don't shop at this location. The old hags that run the place are the most useless people I have yet to encounter.
Wait a second. Old hags? This isn't how we talk around here usually. Although I'll say, what's this guy's name?
JK.
Oh, so maybe it's a goof.
You're gonna find out a little more about JK as we go. They huddle around the checkout counter looking like Real Housewives of Orange County, but even less intelligence.
Whoa. What? Jeez. You're just from looking at them, you're telling me they look dumb?
Yeah.
You usually can't tell if someone's dumb from looking at them.
Well, here's our answer of why he's so mad. They are unable to process simple returns and screw up your orders, but tries to make up for it with phrases like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make you happy. This is most unfortunate, but never admits their mistake and apologize. So,
yeah, you know what? I will say this. It depends. There's some like high-end stores that are really like, we stand behind everything no matter what, and they have that policy. But there's also some of these specialty stores and these stores that are so high-end that they're just like, we do such good business. We sell so much to like, fuck off. I don't care, you know?
Yeah, especially like, a store that's like targeting rich people.
Exactly. Too, right? That it's just kind of like, fuck off. Like, you know, buy another one, you rich.
And like an international chain. Like, yes, we have them here, you have them there. They're probably all over the fucking world. Why would they care if this person's mad? He goes, accountability is a foreign concept for these hags.
Oh my God, he's going back to the hags,
man. But I will, that's what it is like. Not the hags part, but like, yeah, when you go to these places, like I've gone with my mom before when she's like buying some like custom furniture, you know, mom's not like super rich, but she's gone and gotten like nice furniture before.
Sure.
And you go into these stores and that's kind of how it is, man. They're all kind of like they're not hags, but they're just kind of doing their own thing, and they're not really like, they're not pressuring you, because that's not the way it works. They're not like all up, and you have to really sort of let them know that you need any help or whatever.
Right? Oh, maybe this part will help you out. I spent, no exaggeration, 1 hour trying to make a simple exchange because the idiotic cow didn't know how to operate.
Oh my God. Wait, is this the same guy?
Yes, this is all the same guy.
Okay.
Now it's like a comment about her weight.
Like, guy has a lot of problems.
This guy is unhinged. Brian, I have a question for you. Do you think that this is a parking lot review?
I don't. Yes. Wait till you hear his next 1-star review. But it's 2023. Come on. The store manager woman was even more unbelievable with her condescending, typical white Karen attitude.
Listen. I got it. I have to say this. That. It sounds this person was probably insufferable.
Yeah.
Like you can tell from their attitude, like hag, cow, like care, like saying all this stuff. So they were being on like, you know, way too aggressive. And that's why they got this reaction. That would be
wait, here's a positive one. The only person who was able to do anything was the gay dude.
Okay.
Well, okay, so he does have something positive. All right.
Okay. Yeah, the gay dude came and did some stuff. By the way, gay dude didn't say he was gay. He just decided.
Well, he works at Williams Sonoma.
Yeah, with a bunch of hags, you know? Yeah. A bunch of, I don't even want to say, but.
No, but certain, I know it.
You know the phrase, a certain something hags.
Yes. Yeah. All the chatty old women at the counter are useless, clueless, and just pointless. Worst shopping experience of 2023. Never shop here unless you love wasting time and money. And I'm going to tell you the truth.
Well, I do love wasting time and money.
Brian does. Brian loves
it. I don't like wasting money at all.
Brian, you have thousands of dollars worth of Lego.
I tell you, I bought Legos on vacation.
You didn't tell me, but I assumed.
I ordered them to be delivered for when I get home, so I'd have Legos when I got home.
By the way,
I thought you meant you bought them at a store.
No. I ordered
them online.
Online from California.
Okay, that's fucked up.
I wanted them here when I got home.
You didn't go to a special store, like, oh, they have this Lego store. I could get something because you can get any Lego you want by ordering it, right?
Yes, and that's what I was shooting for.
I just want to say though, on this guy's review that made me kind of happy was that he said worst shopping experience, and I was sure he was going to say of my life, but he didn't. He said of 2023. So he was he's like, I have dealt with worse situations earlier in my life.
Okay,
it's hard to believe this guy is like repeatedly finding himself in these awful situations at retail.
Well, the problem is every time he goes in, it's some hag cow at the cashier.
Sure.
He did review Daniel DeBottis, MD, which is a doctor.
Okay. Hey, yeah. I don't know. I was going to say I don't know that business, but no, that's an individual doctor.
And you got to give him a review, a 1-star review.
Okay.
This review update has nothing
this
to do with
this guy told me I've got cancer. 1-star.
It's so funny. In like 2 weeks, we're going to have the episode with Tom Sexton about gambling guys and reading the casino reviews.
Oh, my God. That's going to be really good.
So funny. Yeah. But he goes, this review update has nothing to do with the surgery. I think the surgery went great for me. I just watched a TV series called Painkiller on Netflix. A docudrama about OxyContin and Purdue Pharma. This gave me the chills down to my spine because I remember after the surgery, the doctor prescribed me 90 pills of OxyContin. I asked why so many. He said, just in case. I didn't take any because it was pain I could handle without any pills. I'm so glad I trashed them. But had I taken them and got addicted, I might not be here writing reviews. Doctors should be our last defense against the big pharmas that treat us like guinea pigs. The fact that he prescribed me 90 pills of a level 2 narcotics, even enough to make me insanely addicted for a mere shoulder surgery, makes me very disappointed and very sad.
Okay, I'm 100% on his side here. I cannot. I am 100% on his side here. I think that he is. And like, listen, maybe not to, but he's right that I think that is irresponsible to prescribe that level. Because I, as someone who's taken OxyContin before when I was
really
younger,
dangerous. It's like dangerous.
You do not need 90 pills of that to get addicted to it.
But things were different at that time. I think, like, because I don't think a doctor would prescribe you 90 OxyContin now.
No, they wouldn't. But I'm telling you, a doctor should have an understanding of that. They went to medical school. They should understand the dangers and the addictive qualities of those types of drugs. And it is irresponsible. And he's right. It could have caused him to get addicted to these drugs and fuck his life up when he had no idea about it. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. But I can tell you that watching a documentary and then going back and being like, I have to give this thing a 1-star.
That's a little lame, but his point stands that he is right. And he was enlightened by this. I don't even think it is a documentary, by the way. Maybe it is, but I think it might be there's a live action
TV show.
There's a TV show. There's an actual TV show that covers it. But I think this might be the documentary. But what? Yeah, that it, having your eyes open to it and realizing that in hindsight, this what this person did was extremely irresponsible. That stands. But yeah, to go back and put the review so long after is kind of maybe a bit loser.
It's a Yelp guy thing to do.
It is a Yelp guy thing to do. But he has a leg to stand on here, I think.
Well, this guy, he also reviewed the Ponzu Sushi Bar.
I maybe have heard of that place.
I don't know that place at all. Can you look where it is, Stefan?
Oh, maybe not. I thought I have heard of that place, but maybe it appears to. I don't know if it's open anymore. Is this in Vancouver?
That was 8 months ago, and it's in Vancouver. Yeah, he goes date August 5th.
Oh, you know what? There's Carp Sushi and Bowl. I think that maybe is it. That's the one that comes up. So
he says anyway. Date August 5th, time 5 p.m. Orders. 12-piece sushi, one roll, one tuna with crispy rice, one beer. Price, $123, including tip. Food, 2 out of 5. Service, 4 out of 5. Value, 1 out of 5.
Well, yeah, ooh. That's a lot. What kind of... you can go to Miku or Manami and have... Like, those are the best. Those are, like, the top-of-the-line sushi places in Vancouver. Yeah. And it does sound like that is extremely overpriced for what
absolutely, yeah.
He does
yeah.
say, quick summary... It's Thai sushi, commanding Japanese price. What you'd expect if you are having an Asian food in Alabama. What? Sushi's, yeah.
Well, sushi's, can you spell the place, spell the name?
Oh, this is in Orange County. It looks like it's a California thing. Okay. Oh,
that makes more sense.
Because it says, oh, sushi scene in OC in general isn't that great. So I didn't really have high expectations, but both Yelp and Google had this place at 4.6 stars. So why not give it a try? Oh, come on. 4.6 stars. I would still rate this place 2, even if the food was free. The taste is whatever, all sauce, but the size of the fish on sushi is barely half of what you get at a normal sushi restaurant. They have no business making sushi. If you think Olive Garden is great Italian or Taco Bell is the most authentic Mexican food, then please enjoy this place.
And I got a bridge to sell you.
For all others with working taste buds, avoid.
So yeah, and listen, taste of food is obviously objective. But listen, it's cool to know that this guy's a travel guy as well. I can imagine he's very respectful to all of the gate agents when he's going on his flight.
Oh, that's the feeling I get too.
Well, those hags sometimes will, you know, they'll grab.
Maury N is another guy from he reviewed Yale Town Medical Clinic.
Okay. This is just a medical clinic.
It's a private medical clinic. Yale Town is like rich part of town,
rich part of downtown. So rich part, but like condo, like apartments, because it's right in downtown. You know.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't want to write this review, but I will.
Yeah, well, no, you don't have to.
You are writing it, so it sounds
you don't have to do it. Nobody.
He explains because you need to know.
Okay.
I called ahead of time. No one picked up. Okay, let's go in. Here we go. Walk. So he's doing this as he goes, by the way.
I hate this so much that he's doing this in like present tense. I've never heard one reviewed like this.
He was already mad because nobody picked up the phone. And I think he started the review.
It's a medical clinic. Like, you think there's a chance?
Busy,
that,
probably,
do you think there's a chance that maybe something like some sort of serious situation could have been happening or like just that they're busy? Yeah.
Impossible, because the next line says walking in to find the receptionist eating a sub sandwich.
Okay, so that's fine to do.
That's fine. Okay. You have to eat lunch. It sounds like that to me. That to me tells me that it's more busy and that they're like having more of an issue because that person can't even go take a break to eat their lunch.
Yeah,
they have to stay on and eat it while they're still while trying they're to working. Do their work.
Yeah.
So now we know two things. You're not going to believe
this. This is him saying it, not you, right?
Yeah. Okay. He goes, why no one answers the phone, parentheses, it's not like sick people call here or anything. And two, why the place smells like a Subway rather than a clean medical clinic?
Well, that's fair. That is fair.
What's Subway? Eating?
No, but Subway has that bread that really stinks.
It does have
up
the smell. I wouldn't say it like it doesn't stink, but it, I mean, I know what you
I
mean.
Love it.
It has like a Subway smell. And
it does have a smell.
Yeah. So yeah, that is maybe not the. But I guess some foods have fragrances to them. Yeah.
Well, sure. Once she stopped chewing, I asked to see a doctor, and she said they are at full capacity. Keep in mind that to my left, their wait room had one person sitting on one of the 10 dusty, worn out chairs in the so-called waiting area. Can I explain that, like? you go back to the office, when you go to a, at least here, when you go to a medical clinic, a walk-in clinic, they try to get you in the office as quick as possible, and you tend to wait there.
Wait in there. Yeah. Famously, that whole idea
waiting room
for the doctor in the secondary room is a famous thing that everybody knows about. Yeah, the idea that he's like, well, I only see one person here, so that means it can't be true. That just doesn't even stand up at all. I mean, it's obviously it could still be full. And I'm sure it was. Why would they lie to you about this?
He goes, I told her this is a walk-in clinic. The outside sign, as well as your website, says walk-ins welcome. She attempted to repeat herself, and since I had no interest in wasting my time, I walked out.
Oh my God. So he did the thing. She started talking and he walked out
while she was talking.
Buddy, that's, I've done that before to somebody, you know, like in like a real heated situation, and it like just to be super, super rude. Like that is one of the most disrespectful things that you can do. Someone starts talking to you and is saying something to you and you do not even acknowledge it. You just turn around and walk away as if they don't even exist. That is next level disrespect.
I think we're about to get a contribution to guys' language, like bruisers and stuff like that from this guy, like bruisers and single guys and stuff like that. He goes, hey, this place turned into a walk-in walkout. Wow. Quite the
Oh my God.
The walk-in walkout.
Wow. It's a walk-in walkout.
Yeah. But
a walk-in clinic, it's a walk-in walkout clinic.
Holy
wow. Quite the accomplishment. Yeah. Wow. Trust me, you don't want to go here. Whatever you need to see a doctor for, it deserves a clean, professional, caring, and expert place.
Yeah.
This place
is
not.
Believe me, you don't want to go there. Well, yeah, no, I never want to go to the clinic.
The doctor. Yeah.
I'm compelled to based on some sort of condition that's made my life unmanageable.
Maury also reviewed Whole Foods Market.
Okay, that's okay. Gonna be, and there's one right in Yaletown as well.
There's a number of them.
Yeah, that's a chain, but that is
Is there one downtown?
Wait, that's in America as well.
Yeah, right? We got
Whole Foods. You guys know that because it's Whole Paycheck. We call it a Whole Paycheck.
Yep. 2 stars. Here's some simple economics. I was gonna buy 2 muffins, 2 bagels, and 2 coffees. I ended up buying 2 muffins and 2 coffees. Where did the bagels go? Selling bagels without the option of it being cut or cream cheese is kind of like going to a hair salon without a wash station. Oh, you want your hair washed prior to a cut? Just hop on into our bathroom and go nuts in the sink. What was I going to do with an uncut dry bagel, which I wanted to enjoy at their so-called coffee area? I'm sure you have a cutting station somewhere back there with the little cute squares of Philadelphia you can appreciate your customer with. No? Okay, the result? They lost business on their bagels. Their muffins and coffee were okay.
You just lost yourself some bagel traffic.
This is for a place in California called Cluck Chicken, and it says it's a fine place, but they get 2 stars deducted for 2 reasons. 1, pricey food. 2, ridiculous hot levels. If you
the Scovilles are too high for this fucking guy. He can't handle the Scoville level.
If you think hotness like Dave's Hot Chicken, you're in for a surprise. I'm a kind of guy who bathes food in hot sauce. I love spicy food, but their hotness was inedible and painful. I ordered extra hot, which is the second hottest level, not even the hottest, and I couldn't close my mouth for an hour because of the searing pain I felt in my tongue.
Extra hot.
Yeah.
Like it's, you have to expect that it's hot. And like that's what some people I think they just like eat like Frank's Red or whatever, you know? Yeah. They like put that type of hot sauce on stuff.
Low Scoville stuff.
Yeah, really low Scoville shit. And then they're just like, well, I'm a big hot sauce guy. And they don't recognize that like people who are really into hot food are on it, as we discovered on the Hot Sauce Guys episode, are on a completely different level. And if you're going to go to a place that you're unfamiliar with and order extra hot food, you have to be ready for it to be extra hot.
The extra hot is really fucking, I would know.
It's going to be hot.
Yeah, it's extra.
It's very descriptive. It's like hot, and then we're going to like think about what you're thinking of as hot food, and it's extra. It's even more than that. So it's like it lays it out for you pretty clearly.
Now, this is my shit. He goes, and I couldn't close my mouth for an hour because of the searing pain I felt in my tongue. I'm sucking on large ice cubes as I write this. Drooling like a fucking zombie. The experience is like, imagine you take Halal Guy's hot sauce or the hottest habanero you can find, and you marinate your tongue in it for hours, then blowtorch it. Yeah. That's how it feels. They should have a better description for their hot levels. They should call their extra hot mega death, or you'll wish you were dead.
So. Okay, so he wants them to, because that is pretty standard in hot sauces that you'll use those kind of like, but that's like usually bottled hot sauce. You're not going to see that in mostly in restaurants, in not respectable restaurants. They're not going to have like, this will kick your ass hot, you know?
And Domino's Pizza in Vancouver got 2 stars from Morian. He goes, I mean, you really do get what you pay for, don't you? I think it's silly to pay $30 for a pizza.
Oh, he's going
to
keep going. I thought that was going to be it for the review. No, I was
like, but this line, this Stefan, this line is nuts. I think it's silly to pay $30 for a pizza.
Yeah, it is.
Well, from Domino's.
Hang on a second. No, hang on. Let's. So, Brian, I don't get what your comment is on. Are you saying that that's how much a pizza costs?
Pizzas are $30.
No, they shouldn't be. They didn't used to be. They are now. Domino's and Panago are like the chains. Domino's is American too, right? I don't know if it is, but yeah,
it is. I believe. Yeah.
Okay, so pizza.
That's like a chain, and it has gotten outrageous. I don't know when this review is, but like the pizzas, everything here in Vancouver has gotten outrageously priced.
But he's saying, because I want to read you this next line. He goes, it's bread and cheese with a few pieces of pepperoni at most. Places like Domino's, Pizza Hut, and Panago give you the cheaper option, clearly. So he is saying,
yeah,
I went to Domino's because I don't want to go to a place that sells pizzas for $30.
Yeah.
And that it's the cheaper option. And it's like, dude, I mean, if you want good pizza, I mean, it's going to cost you $30. That's just the way things are, man.
Yeah, that's the way it is. But it used to be able to, like, not that long ago, you could get, like, on a deal, a large 2-topping pizza for like $15 from those places, you know, and that has gone. It's like jumped up $10. It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
It is.
He goes, believe, I haven't had Domino's in a long time because I enjoy the wonderful Columbus, Ohio style pizza that is great. But there was a time, believe it or not, their lower price point wasn't at the cost of quality of the pie. That's why I'm not going to let this one slide. Here it is. The deluxe pizza. The only way this pizza was deluxe is if it was going through a crack cocaine withdrawal, and that was after 2 rounds of failed rehab.
What?
Wait, if the pizza was going...
What?
Having drug withdrawals.
Okay.
But
and then had 2 rounds of failed.
What does that have to do with deluxe?
Oh, he said, you missed the second part. He goes, and that was after 2 rounds of failed rehab. So this pizza's been to rehab twice, and they're still hooked on drugs.
And he goes,
lacking, miserable, desperate. Enough said. That is so dark, man. That's an incredibly dark thing.
Is that that's about a pizza? He said lacking, miserable.
It's about Domino's.
This is about a Domino's pizza. What is it? He actually says that.
Yeah, he goes, the only way this pizza was, quote, deluxe was if it was going through a crack cocaine withdrawal, and that was after 2 rounds of failed rehab. Lacking, miserable, desperate. Enough stuff.
Jesus Christ.
So dark. That is a dark review, but he's still more.
That's the hot dark one. Review for a pizza place.
He goes,
with Domino's especially.
Like, yeah. The hot wings. I like the packaging. Still hot when it arrived. It wasn't hot wings. It tasted more sweet, and because of the amount of excess fat, the wings tasted like sweet fat. Sorry to have given you that sensory, but that's what it was. So he's a journalist. So that's about it. So yeah, among the mainstream pizza joints, Domino's is out. Pizza Hut, you're next.
The crosshairs.
That's all of our Yelp guys, and now it's time to look at the chivalry. And
I'm gonna take off. Thanks so much for having me on, everyone. I'm gonna try to see how much I can do. I think the baby's pretty agreeable, so I should be able to pop in for streams and episodes, if not the whole episode. But yeah, enjoy the chivalry.
I'm looking forward to this.
Stefan loves the chivalry just as much as I do.
Should I stay on the call?
I mean, whatever you want,
like,
man.
I can leave. It doesn't matter for the recording.
It'll be fine. Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye, Chris. Bye.
All right, okay. We're sharing the Chive Rare Coins page.
Here we go. Have you bought anything from the Chive recently?
I bought one before I went to California. I still haven't gotten it yet. It's a Chris Farley coin.
Oh, my God. So you didn't buy anything while you were in California from the Chive?
No, I just bought the Legos when I was there. The and Legos here's stuff. The okay. thing. My wife was like, I'm going to get a tattoo.
Okay.
And I was like, well, that I'm getting some Legos then.
Sure, of course.
That's what how it happened. And I'm in California.
What was the tattoo?
It's a cactus. She got it done in Joshua Tree. It's a very good tattoo. I like, but I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah.
I'm not a tattoo guy.
Right.
So I just
have you guys done tattoo guys on here?
Not yet. No. Probably would be fun though. So yeah. They have for sale currently for $35 a t-shirt that just says Bill Murray.
Okay.
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. I mean, you know what they should do is, you know, the shirts where it's like the list of names or whatever. It's like street names or neighborhoods a lot of the time. And it'll be like five of them. And it's all kind of the same font.
With like, the and?
About, yes. Like yes. Do that. Bill Murray and Chris Farley. And I mean, who are some of the other guys?
Ghostbusters. They don't have Will Ferrell quite. I don't think. Maybe they do. I mean, maybe Bill Murray and Chris Farley and Anchorman. Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, Ron Burgundy. Yeah.
Because I think it's Ron Burgundy. We got a Boondock Saints.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Okay. No. Oh, these guys are so epic. They did the so epic. They did the Steamboat Willie.
Because they can do well, it's funny they did Steamboat Willie because he actually just looks a lot more like Mickey there.
Yeah, and it just says boats and hoes. And by the way,
that's so funny. It's a reference to
Step Brothers,
great movie, obviously. And but then it's Steamboat Willie. But it's also, by the way, it's not. And why wouldn't you say steamboats and hoes?
That is a good point, Stefan. I didn't even think about that, but it is kind of.
Because you can't really tell that he's on the boat. I mean, you can tell he's got the wheel there or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But like, there's no other indication he's on the boat, and it's more Mickey than Steamboat Willie also. So I don't know.
Here's one. You're my boy, Blue. You can buy that t-shirt for $35.
That's a new shirt.
That's brand new. That's brand new shirt just came out recently.
Oh.
You imagine? God, can you fucking imagine? Like, at least it looks like it's got that distressed look to it. So yeah. I could be convinced that it was bought in, fuck, it would have to be 2005 or something when that movie was out. I can't believe their sense of humor is just.
It's so funny, man.
Here's Winnie. And this is another, I think, you know what? I'm sick of I know it's good that stuff comes into public domain.
Yeah.
But I'm fucking tired of it now. Winnie the Pooh one.
Oh, have you seen like the Winnie the Pooh horror movies?
I'll never watch that.
Total ass. Like,
did you watch it?
No, I've just heard it's just horrendous. And it looks terrible, right? So there's no way.
And they're already doing a sequel to that.
That's incredible. It costs like nothing to make.
Yeah, you just buy like a bear costume and some fake blood. I don't know. I feel sick. I can't believe how sick I am of this already. And it's like every year some stuff's going to come out and it's just going to be like, we're going to make a movie about it. And we'll make a bunch of shirts that says, what day is it? Asked Pooh. It is Monday, squeaked Piglet. Fuck, said Pooh.
That's funny. That's a lot of text on your shirt.
Yeah. If you don't like getting so much text, you got Taylor Swift shirts, Travis Kelce.
Of course. You got to. It's just funny. They just, I mean, I get it, but it's like, and I know the people they're targeting too. Like, to be clear, the unironic purchasers of this stuff are like
crazy,
like brain dead. Like, they're so stupid. And it's just like, oh, I know that thing. Someone was talking about that on Facebook. Or I saw that on TV and now it's on a shirt. I want to get it because I saw it on TV. You know?
Yeah. And I was always, I think I've bought a lot of weird stuff since doing this show, doing guys. And I could never own one of these shirts. I just couldn't like buy a Beetlejuice shirt, which they're doing a sequel later in the year, I guess. Yeah. You know, I mean, may the force be with you. Like, can you even legally make that fucking shirt? And it's new.
Well, that's the other thing is like how, like I was wondering about how legal these, like, cause they're just using like Ghostbuster. They're just using all this copyrighted stuff. Like, do they have licenses for this stuff? Like if you click on that shirt, like click on the Star Wars one. Does it say anything about, like, there's no chance they licensed this with Disney.
No. And I'll tell you how I know this, because in Columbus, there is a place called Homage.
Okay. That
makes really nice. They're really soft t-shirts.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily get the rights.
Sure.
To make a Cincinnati Reds t-shirt.
Right.
So it'll say something like Pete fucking Rose on it. Or Pete.
It'll just say that on it. It'll just say his name. Right.
Yeah. My wife wore a shirt for a long time that just said Bucky fucking Dent because he was a Columbus Clipper. Sure. And like, they're just a huge play. Now they get the rights to some of the stuff, by the way, they get the rights to wrestling stuff and they make the worst wrestling shirt. it's all like the most obvious shirt you could ever buy.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Like that sort of thing.
Yes. Right? I just whipped your ass, you know. We got a Jaws one that says you're going to need a bigger boat, and I just don't even understand why.
So it's just like, it's so crazy the shit still exists. Like, it's seeing new next to some of these is like, I wonder if they're actually new or if it's like we've had these designs for sale before and now they're back.
Right? Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because it's like, there's an episode of Guys to be had for movie quote guys.
Oh, absolutely.
It would be hard to prep, but like I have a friend that quotes movies a lot, like to the point where my wife and daughter have noticed that he quotes. And like, sometimes it's like, okay, like we're going to need a bigger boat. Like I wouldn't say it, you know what I mean? But like, it takes a second. This guy that is a friend of mine will quote whole monologues from There Will Be Blood or like Inglourious Bastards. Yeah. And when he gets drunk and when he starts to do it, everybody around him is uncomfortable. It's just nobody wants that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It doesn't make sense to me, but it's like, I don't know how I would prep it, but goddamn,
that's one that you would sort of prep like throughout researching other stuff, because you would see it on Reddit threads where there's always like a movie quote or like the thing I fucking hate about Reddit maybe the most is when someone will post something that is like also like a song lyric or a quote from a movie, and then all the other replies to it are these fucking dumb pigs like continuing the song or continuing the movie quote, and it's like you can see the upvotes like diminishing
with
each one, but they keep going, and sometimes you have to click on like the nested replies, and it's like, man, like what are you you're like 20 replies deep on this like lyrics thing, like what are you getting out of this?
I get that a lot on the classic rock Reddit, which is
makes a bit more sense because it's a musical one at least, right?
But it's like, the lowest common denominator Reddit. Like guys that are literally just, I like classic rock. It's like the guys that like five bands.
Yeah.
Beatles, Stones, Led Zeppelin. Like they spend all day just talking about like the bands that you would think they were talking about. And I just don't even understand how you become like it's the same as a movie quote guy is a classic rock guy, because they don't know any B-sides. They don't listen to anything outside of, I remember we were doing in the second episode of the show was classic rock guys. I did it with Chris Wade, which by the way, the first sequel will be classic rock guys 2 with Chris. And it'll be after they announce the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. So I think we're going to do classic rock guys every year when that happens. Wonderful. You know what I mean?
That should be a recurring episode.
Sure. Yeah. So I think that like those guys doing song lyrics is fine. It just is the most obvious shit in the world. And I don't know how you even like kind of, when you're riffing like that, I don't, I could never do it. No. You know what I mean? Like I could never riff. I could never wear a shirt. We got a shirt right here, right? For no reason. None. There isn't a fucking movie for
it's
it.
Not, and like, can I just say, it looks like there's like a quotation. So the joke, if this is even a joke, so it's Bueller, it's like the quote where Ben Stein, hilarious guy, by the way, you should look up.
Nasty.
Just a huge piece of shit. If you look at it, it only has the closed quotation mark at the end, I guess implying that he's been saying it for longer than the four times you see it on the show.
Oh.
But I don't think that doesn't qualify as like a joke.
Nobody is reading that. I didn't see the joke.
I don't think, I was like looking for something basically to like.
Here's one that says Bond, James Bond. Like, it's crazy to me. I'm going to go one more page over here. We'll take a look. We got, listen here, you beautiful bitch with what's his name? Kenny Powers. Cause they're way into Kenny Powers.
That makes sense. I think. Yeah. Even though Kenny Powers is like sort of making fun of like stupid guys.
You know? It's good too. Kenny Powers.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great show. Yeah.
What about this one, Stefan? A quote from Jerry Maguire. No, but it's not. You had me at hello.
No, it's show me the money, but it is the S in show is actually a dollar sign. So what it adds a lot to it.
What is the end game when you buy the shirt? I think is the thing. Like it almost makes
literally. It's literally you're at a bar or a party and someone's like, oh, hey, the movie. That's like all it is.
Where did you get that shirt, man? In the movie. And it's funny because like, now it kind of makes me want to buy one and see.
Just walk around, like, because you go on your famous long walks.
Yes.
Wear a shirt with like a big quote on it like that and walk around and see if anyone points to you. It's like, oh, I love that movie. Great shirt, you know?
Because you got like Slater from Dazed and Confused saying, you cool, man.
Yeah.
Which there's also, I want to know what the Electric Psychedelic Pussycat Swingers Club is, actually. That's got to be
let's see.
I'm a
psychedelic
Pussycat Swingers Club.
Oh, Austin Powers. That's the club that Austin Powers.
My God, it's an Austin Powers joke.
And it's like an Austin Powers deep cut.
Yeah, I had no idea what that was. And we got Indiana Jones, a lot of Indiana Jones shirts, Griswold's tradition, you know, you got to have your National Lampoon.
Of course.
It's just, I love those redheads, man. That shirt.
That sucks, man.
Makes you look so creepy. And I guarantee that line from Dazed and Confused
remembers that. It doesn't seem like a pervert. Yeah.
Yeah. Save the clock tower.
Oh, they got the laser beam, the sharks with freaking laser beams on their head. Okay.
Yeah. That's crazy. I gotta buy it. If Chris was here, he'd be yelling at me. I might have to. I'm gonna buy freaking sharks with laser beams and wear it one time and see if anybody.
You honestly need to. I think this is it's an experiment. It's a social experiment for the show.
Yeah. I'm gonna think about buying that thing. It is $35, which is insane. But so we got some Revenge of the Nerds ones, some Fast Times at Ridgemont High ones.
God, dude.
Here's one that would Beast of Bourbon.
That's fun. Why is it a buffalo though?
It's just, I can't believe this website still exists.
It's really crazy that it still exists.
It's fucking nuts.
It shouldn't. It shouldn't exist anymore.
Yeah. No. It shouldn't be active, I think, is the thing. Like, you should go look at the Chive, and it's still the posts from 2011. 2014. I think the Chive, and it's funny because people don't even know. People don't even realize a lot of times until they're told this, but the Chive is actually a parody of the Onion, which is
God. I've listened to your Chive Guys episode because that was with Will, right?
Yeah.
So we did a block party with him and Helena that comes out. It might come out after this, but very, very, like, that was a great episode, but it was just like genuinely so hard to listen to.
There's some
so depressing.
And it just, there's guys on there all the time. Like I go on there every week when it's time to prep this show and look, because I have the app on my phone.
Right.
And I just go and look for comments that are a little weird, and they're so depressing. It's just things like, I'll tell you what, the threads with the Chivets will make you like totally gnarled out. It's gross. But I do want to say this before we go, Stefan. I wanted to show you something because I know you'll appreciate it. I can't show it to anybody on stream.
Okay. See, oh my God. Is that a naked old man Lego minifig?
Yeah.
He's got like a hard cock.
Oh, very hard.
That's really good. Where did you get that?
I got it on Etsy. It was $40, but I mean, look at this guy. It's so
great. Funny. That's really good. Oh my God.
Yeah, I took it with me to the day I got it, I took it with me to like a family event or whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, not a lot of people in my family know what they know what I do for a living, but I don't know what I do for a living.
Do they know about the Lego stuff or?
They know about the Lego stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And I just was like, they were like, why would you buy that? And I was like, it's for work. That's what I always say.
I mean, it is technically like, no, I'm the same way. I bought so much stupid shit and like, it is genuinely for work.
It's for work. Well, that is Guys Plus for the week. Stefan, thank you for coming in for Chris.
Of course, we didn't know if we were having me.
And we always love having you on the show. Stefan's on Blocked Party and the Go Off Kings. And
I hate this team.
I hate this team. Yes. And I've been on Blocked Party a bunch of times.
That's right.
And,
we got to get you on Go Off Kings and show you Dwayne. Do you know Dwayne?
No, but I'd love to show you guys Tom and Bunny. So maybe
that would be great.
Cultural exchange.
Yes, I think that would be wonderful. That would be fantastic.
We'll do that. We'll do a cultural exchange between the streams because I think you guys would love Tom and Bunny.
I've seen some Tom and Bunny stuff on your stream and other places, and it's really fucking insane every single time.
Broke his dick.
Yeah, I saw the thumbnail for that video and broke it was really good. Times.
Stefan.
That's fucking insane.
He got way too into Viagra.
He was like injecting shit into his penis.
Well, that was second. He got way into Viagra and Cialis. He said he was taking 2 Viagra and 2 Cialis a day. Okay. So in the morning and then at night he was taking them. And it's like, you're not really supposed to take these things like antibiotics. Like you're supposed to take them until they're all out or whatever. That's not how it works. So he grew a tolerance.
Okay.
To those. So then he goes to the doctor and he goes, hey, I heard about these injections, which by the way, it's because he was having a session with a guy that had the injections and he was like, oh, can I get one of those? And then he used that guy's injections. And so he got them, you know, he got prescribed them. He's got a really good relationship with his urologist, which you got to assume a swinger in that way is going to have to, you know.
You're seeing him like once a week
probably. And he goes, he gets it, he does that for a few years and he does it too much, so his dick won't get hard anymore even with the injection, which that's got to be a hard pill to swallow.
That's really unfortunate.
And so he goes to the doctor, and this is my favorite story ever from the show. He goes to the doctor and he's like, what can we do? The doctor gives him a implant. So
This is the thing, he can like pump up like the Reebok.
Yes. This thing ought to last 15 years, you know. It's not, it doesn't mess with your sensitivity or anything like that. This thing ought to last you for a long time. It lasted him 3 years.
Because he was just fucking hammering on it, right?
He was like, using it too much. He was fucking showing it off at hedonism. He'd be like, sometimes I get out of pool and just show it to everybody. And that's, I was like,
so crazy, man. God damn.
And then he goes to hedonism. The goddamn thing breaks. He's there for 17 days.
Oh my God.
Incredible. It's one of the greatest. I would make that movie.
Yeah.
If I
could. That's fascinating.
But we will definitely do that. We'll trade weirdos.
I would love that. That's a great idea.
And thanks for doing the show, everybody. Next week is Jesse Farrar and probably some Chris too. And on the main show, it is Crypto Guys with Todd Glass. Ooh. So
Wonderful. That's gonna be great.
See ya.
Bye.